You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thank you for having me.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, we have our annual forecast still on sale and covers many of the major markets, working out really well. Encourage listeners to take advantage of the 50% offer discount using, actually, you can use the code just half off now. You don't have to use 2022 half off, which is, we changed it according to my programmer. So when you go to the website and you go to the promo code section on the order form, or the VR Forecaster, or any of the letters, just enter half off, and you get 50% off of the newsletter. So that special still is going on. And as I usually do, for regulatory reasons, I like to disclaim that I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice, just a newsletter publisher and strategist.
And, you know, in the last edition of the Timer Digest, you were ranked one of the top all-time gold timers ever. Not a bad job, Mark.
I saw that, yeah. So, you know, thank you very much. There are a lot of other people that did well with gold as well, but, you know, remember I'm taking a little bit of a trading approach with it, so in and out a little bit rather than take the big downturns along the way. As you know, we've seen a few of those, but they were very nice giving me that accolade. Actually, the more exciting accolade for me of all time was being an elf with my old friend, contact Louis Rukeyser from the PBS show Wall Street Week way back in the 80s and 90s. You know, great honor for me considering I was living in Sedona, Arizona, and all the other nine elves that were picked to be on his program each week to provide, you know, a buy, sell, or neutral signal on the stock market. We're all, you know, heavyweight Wall Street people. I never worked on Wall Street. I was just worked in Chicago. And I always used to joke, you know, some of the best analysis comes from the canyons of Sedona versus the canyons of Wall Street. So, but it was just, you know, more than the Timer Digest recognition, which obviously was great, just the honor of being selected by him, who is one of the greatest financial journalists of our century in terms of the work he did in getting, you know, the markets and news in front of mass audiences. So, yeah, that was, you know, a great honor for me. So I really appreciate that. And I was happy and surprised that he picked me, but I certainly said yes and became an elf.
I recall Lewis's, I always say he had one of the great jaw lines on television along with Jay Leno.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a great thing to, but that's what I remember most about watching his show.
Actually, on my newsletter every night now, I'm replaying a segment from the Wall Street Week TV show back in 1987, the week of the big crash that occurred that October, I think, to the 19th or 20th of that year. The show appeared that Friday, so it was the big show for him, trying to explain to a national audience, you know, and have some, he has some guests there, John Templeton, for example, head of Merrill Lynch, and a couple other analysts trying to explain to a national audience what the crash was all about or what the future of the stock market was all about. You look back at that, so I play that on my website or in my newsletters. I don't know if I have it on the website at VR Trader or I have it also in the newsletters, but it's just fun watching the state of the world and his comments back in 1987, and you look at what the market was, you know, it was 2,200 in the Dow, and it got down to about 1,800, and now it's like 42,000, and you look at the panic that occurred back then. Of course, we're talking, you know, 30, 40 years later, you know, what it took for the market to make these advances, but it really showed what long-term investing was all about. If you're really long-term and you're planning for your retirement, you know, look at the bargains that existed even with the Dow at 2,000 at that time. And it's hard to imagine that it's 20 times greater now. And, you know, it's a long time ago, but not, you know, that long time ago. You know, it's a obviously a few decades, but that's nothing if you're planning, you know, long-term investing. And I guess that which encourages people. I mean, I don't. If you watch the interview, you hear John Templeton talk about, you know, the long-term view of the markets, and it's really been true. I mean, look at all the crashes and negative events that have occurred, even in the short period of time from the 1970s to date, and, you know, a lot of threats of war, including right now, you know, threats of world war and on and on, but for some reason, we all seem to pull ourselves out of it. Or the stories that we get are not totally true, and news is manipulated to make us think that things are a lot worse than they are. So I guess you have to be a bit optimistic when you look at the history of the markets and see what really has transpired all these decades. So anyway, it's always good to take that perspective, because every day there's a reason to sell and panic, and being optimistic, for the most part, has been the more successful strategy. Now, if you're day trading and you're short term, I do a lot of that kind of stuff. Then that's great too. That's sport and potentially profitable, and it's exciting. But if you're really in the markets for your retirement and so forth, I think that long term view really does pay off. And dollar cost averaging, putting a little money in the markets on a regular basis, no matter if it's high or low, just being consistent has paid off for many investors. So, you know, I sort of joke a little bit about, you know, a lot of the analysis and work that we do, trading and so forth. But even though some people had to suffer through, you know, some serious corrections along the way, net-net, things have worked out. If they received dividends on their stocks along the way and reinvested those dividends, they had even more shares and they benefited even more. So, you know, sort of just reminiscing a bit, you know, about all the decades in the markets and what's happening. And we see the sell-off we're seeing in the markets here the last couple of days. You sort of reflect on what history really teaches us, that things are transitory.
How would you describe what's happening on the stock markets right now?
Well, the headline of our newsletter podcast last week, as you recall, and I talked about it a couple of weeks before that, was, you know, potential weakness into March 20th, 21st, which was the vernal equinox, which was also a time frame, if you recall, that the COVID crash low was around 18, 19,000 in the Dow that occurred March 21st of 2020. And look what the Dow has done since then. You know, he bought the crash low of the COVID low back then, 18, 19,000. Now they're like 40, 42,000 in the Dow in a very short period of time, relatively speaking, you know, 4 years. I mean, that's nothing in investing time frame. So nothing unexpected here. You know, there's a lot of bad news out there. We don't know how much of it is real or not. We can worry about war and all kinds of stuff. Everybody's worrying about tariffs when the numbers really say they're not that bad, you know, economically, as many are painting the picture they are. And then we don't know if they're going to last or not, or they're just, it's political ploys to get things accomplished, like the fentanyl crisis and so forth. But there's a lot of, you know, reasons that that we can talk about, but cycles indicated, and I was very clear about this, and this is why I do my volume and cycle work, is you know, starting with the Groundhog Day around February 2nd, where cycles come into play, which go back many hundreds of years, by the way. If you check on the history of Groundhog Day and why that even occurs, there's cyclical forces at work that created that holiday, and then, of course, you got the planetary forces, and you got an overbought market. You know, some profit taking, you know, came in here after the first of the year. We talked about that in December, that, you know, we'll take your profits, wait to January 1st, 2nd, so you can defer your taxes. So part and parcel to that. And, you know, a lot of big name stocks like NVIDIA and so forth, some of the big name stocks, even Tesla, you know, got way overpriced and they start to come down and correct. So this is, I believe this is just part and parcel and to a normal correction, a lot of volatility. And, you know, it could last even longer than this March period, but this is sort of a guidepost that we watch. So you got to watch the tape, you got to watch the numbers, and then when we get a reversal, it should be pretty clear. You know, we'll see it in the chart patterns, May or may not see it in the news. He means the worst possible news, possibly at the bottom. I mean, that's usually the way it is. But no surprises here. So, yeah, I'm very pleased. And we've also seen, you know, other things work out for us as well. You know, we talked about crude oil coming down. Even though big picture I had been positive, the numbers said no, it had changed. They were going down. And, you know, probably the Trump effect is in play. So we've been playing crude oil on the short side. And we jumped out of gold, but jumped back in it, you know, when it looked like it got too frothy there for a while. So I'm always want to keep my foot in the door in the gold market. A lot of stuff happening there internationally, and should be interesting if and when we ever do an audit, a real audit of the, you know, of the U.S. gold reserves at Fort Knox, whether they're really there or not, should be interesting. I think they're trying, from what I'm reading, you're not hearing a lot about the last few days, but I don't think the powers that be want us to really go in there, because my gut feeling the gold really isn't there. It hasn't been for a long time. So if that ever really came out, you know, then that could drive gold really skyrocketing higher. So we'll find out if and when we ever get a serious audit of the Fort Knox. I sort of cynical. I don't think they're going to allow it to happen, though it really needs to happen. But a lot of cynics like myself have been thinking about that for decades. So we'll see, and we'll see if that plays out. But yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff going here. And of course, I'm ranting and raving here a little bit, Jim, but let's want to cover the high points for you so we don't keep our listeners, you know, online too longer than necessary. But really the hot story, I think, the hottest story is the crypto story. In fact, there's going to be a Bitcoin crypto conference at the White House tomorrow, Friday, and some of the big names in the industry are supposed to be there. They're calling it the White House Summit, and you're going to have some, you know, leaders from prominent leaders in the industry, some from the big platform companies that trade the cryptos, and this is serious stuff. This is adding legitimacy big time to the crypto market, and it doesn't mean Bitcoin and all the cryptos have to go up straight up from here or anything like that, but legislation and everything legitimizing the whole crypto world, which unfortunately in the prior administration, the Biden administration, was fighting against crypto. And you had Gary Gensler at the SEC giving crypto is a lot of headaches, and legislation issues have to be resolved. But this is big stuff. So I think this is a sign, if everything stays on track, many of these cryptos are going to be put to work in a very serious manner that's going to be, you know, economically super positive, you know, for the world. And I think it's just something you got to really look at. You've got to have, as you say, diversification, much as you would have in the gold market or in any other market sector. You've got to be in the crypto space and a diversified portfolio there, because you know, it could be a year or two comment that I'm making now. It doesn't necessarily overnight, but there could be the gains potentially in some of these crypto prices could dwarf. You know, if we had a headline for our podcast today, Jim, it would be, you know, the gains potentially in cryptos could dwarf stock prices incredibly. You know, people are happy if the stock market's up 10, 15, or 20%, you know, during the course of a year. I mean, the potential is that there could be hundreds of percent gains in some of these cryptos as they come put to work. You know, you've got, you know, a little crypto like Doge, D-O-G-E, which is the Elon Musk favorite. I think it's trading around 20 cents. I mean, if it goes to a dollar, that's 500%, you know, and I'm saying that could happen, something like that. And there's a bunch of names. I don't want to give them out here because they're really in part of our newsletter, and many of our listeners probably know some of the names anyway, but the potential gains, and this could be over a year or two, could like dwarf anything you'll see in the stock market, regardless of NVIDIA or any biotech stock or, you know, any of the big names out there are just not going to see those kind of numbers, particularly when you're trading with some of these, you know, really cheap, you know, in terms of relatively where they've been or where they could go. So, I mean, even Dogecoin, I think, was trading as high as 70 or 80 cents about 2-3 years ago when Elon Musk was talking a lot about it back then, and it dropped all the way down, I think, to about 12, 13 cents. Now it's around 20 cents. Well, let's see if it goes back to 70, 80 cents. And he's a big proponent of Dogecoin. And, of course, it's funny that they've named Doge with regard to the investigation into the government overspending and budgets and so forth. But just, you know, that would be a good spec. Again, I used the word speculation, but that would be a good speculation. So, and that's one of many. But apparently this White House conference tomorrow and some announcements that, you know, Donald Trump has made up to this point, you know, indicate that the certain favorites that are going to, or main names, I guess I'd rather call them favorites, are the ones that are going to be, you know, highlighted more in terms of government involvement and creating a crypto reserve and so forth, which is what they're talking about. I believe the actual announcement was, it says, you know, according to Trump's executive order, it's on digital assets. So it directed the presidential working group to move forward on a crypto strategic reserve that includes names like XRP, SOL, and ADA. And his comment is, we're going to make this the crypto capital of the world. So, you know, it's a little common sense. You know, you got to be in there because there's going to be action. And if you have a little sense about you and watch the markets, you're going to see some nice trading opportunities and investment opportunities. So I think that's really, you know, a lot of trades we do, a lot of stocks we go in and out of and so forth. But when you get into a trade like even the XRP, which I think was trading about 35 cents within the past year, got up to about 350, and now it's around 250. I mean, those kind of percentage moves and gains for something that is going to be part of a U.S. government, I guess, crypto strategic reserve, governments are going to be putting money in there, and it's going to go up, and it's going to be put to use. And wake up. If you're not in it, get in it.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with gold?
I think it's hanging in there. It, as I told you, the listeners, you know, three months ago, and I'm not unique in this theory or thinking, and there are cycles in gold, and there tends to be, you know, cyclic strength into February. Some years better or worse than others. So when we got to 3,000 and we're in February, it said to me, hey, get out. You know, if you're a trader, you know, it may be enough for now. So, you know, we lightened up and, you know, we had a little sell-off. And I think, you know, the state of the world and I guess the, you know, the speculation component, but also the geopolitical component says, you know, it's still okay, but you got to be prepared for these $200, $300, $400 corrections in a volatile market. So I would hang in there. I don't really care so much for the gold shares per se. You know, many of them have underperformed, but having a little position in some of the ETFs that track gold stocks, makes some sense. But there's some bigger names that just do better. You know, like Agnico Eagle, AEM, for example, the Canadian name out of Ontario, is probably the best performing quality gold stock out there. It trades about $95 a share. I think it got up to about $107 last week or the week before. There are a few names out there that really stand out. Wheaton Precious Metals, WPM, you know, a couple names that just outperform many of the other shares. The big speculation here, from what I'm reading and thinking about, are some of the cheap exploration companies, if you can find some out there. We have some names, but some of the majors are going to really need to acquire some of these exploration company assets to keep things going for them, because, you know, there's shortages out there, you know, a lot of people looking, but, you know, gold is a limited asset, and there are only certain companies that have been able to identify new sources of gold. So the big play may be identifying some of these small exploration companies that could be acquisition targets for the big companies looking to pick up more assets. So some of the bigger gains may come in some small exploration companies, you know, in terms of, instead of going into, let's say, a big name, which I've liked for many years, like Newmont Mining, which, you know, is a great company, and I think it pays about 2-3% dividend. But you're not going to see, you know, spectacular gains in Newmont Mining. You know, it used to, I think the all-time high was around 70 or 80, got down to about 20. Now it's around 40. But, you know, you're not going to see hundreds or 200 or 300% gains, which you might see in some exploration companies that become acquired by some of the big majors like a Newmont. So I think some of the play in the gold market, besides owning gold itself, is trying to identify some of these. They're speculative, with speculative companies that could be big play for the big majors getting involved. So you have to do your homework on that. And that's just, but in terms of gold itself, I think we're okay.
Mark, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
No, I'm just keeping an eye on the this time frame and the news, and see if we get some type of reversal pattern here in the overall markets, and just taking it, you know, day by day. It's just a volatile, exciting time of the year. Like I say, you can make money even on the short side, which we've done a couple times already, including crude oil, which we've talked about. But, you know, we'll get a clear sign of it. And I'm going to be watching that vernal equinox time frame. And, of course, you know, you can always argue the Ides of March, going back to Caesar's time, you know, that there's crazy things that happen in this time of this period of time. So nothing comes as any great surprise here. Just keeping an eye out day and day for the news. And got tons of stocks that we're watching and tons of markets that we're tracking. And it's just an exciting time to be in the market. So keep an eye out between now and the end of the month and see if we can get some tradable low in the markets. And it should be pretty clear when it happens.
Mark, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitt, editor and publisher of the Leibovitt VR Newsletters. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.